What is this shift?
You ready?
Ready, steady, go.
Welcome
Welcome,
to Shift
shifties.
Hit the
Yeah, shift hit the fan. You got it. You
We were
kind
both
of
talking.
faded out. You kind of faded out on the fan part.
Yeah, we were both started talking, and I know it only gets like one of us at a time.
Yeah. All right. Welcome, shifties, and welcome to shift hit the fan. There you
Yeah.
All
Prepare
right.
to be shifted.
Prepare. Prepare for what's to come. And apparently, the topic is maybe balance and harmony.
Kind of. I think there's some chaos in it.
Yeah. Well, isn't that included in balance and harmony? Got a BJ in there.
Yeah.
Balance and Germany.
Harmony with a fear in Spanish.
You're speaking Spanish.
Harmony.
Harmony. We've got the Six of Cups and we've got the High Priestess, as this is the hidden energy. So, what do you see?
I see something probably very different than most people. I always do.
Me too.
So in this Six of Cups, what I see is these two kids helping each other. They're creating a beautiful thing, a beautiful little project with each other, with the resources that they have, taking the earth and the water and bringing them to their cups and creating this life, this beautiful flower and this growth. And I see that it's like a little, to me, that's like a little village type setting. So they're in a community and they're working to better this community. But then I see this high priestess, and typically I think of the high priestess as like a chaotic feminine energy, but I think you brought up a good point that she looks very nun-like, and it's got the word priest, meaning for me, kind of meaning that like it's structurized, almost as if like she's enshrouded with a masculine energy, so she's not as feminine as I typically think. So she has the feminine, she has this light that's about her. But I look at the two pillars, the light and the dark pillar, and the bee being on the dark pillar, the black pillar, brings about this. The bee is a sound that's more like a wall. This is kind of coming from the project that my friend and I are working on. It creates a wall sound. It encapsulates things. And the J is more of a cutting sound. And so the J being on the light pillar creates this, the light piercing the darkness type effect. And the B being on the dark pillar kind of encapsulates the light. And so I see that as like the light that's coming out of the priestess, this creative energy from the feminine, it will eventually dissipate into the darkness. It will eventually, doesn't matter how powerful or strong it is, eventually the darkness will overcome it. And the way I see this is like the community aspect of things, the things that we work on together, the community aspect, the thing that's created that masculine structure that's kind of enshrouding that. Enshrouding the feminine energy there will it teaches us kind of a lesson. We get to work together in these different projects to create whatever it is, the community and the culture that we currently have. But as we do that, we have this navigation of what is our true self, what is our true identity. And when we're in a cultural identity, we have this, what do you call it? It's a community identity. It's an identity that's created from everyone. There's a word that's not coming to me for it, but when we have that group identity, we don't always know who we are ourselves, and we get to exp we and I earlier I had the same question of how do we know what is our authentic self, and how do we know what is coming from the culture or from somebody else's thoughts and ideas? And for me, I don't know that. I don't know what's coming from somebody else, and I don't know what's authentically me. But I can try and experiment with whatever's in front of me, experiment with the ideas that are in my head, and then I get to determine, did I like that? Did I not like that? Which direction do I want to go from here? And in that process of playing with that structure, I get to find out who I am. And so I imagine myself as this light, kind of reaching out towards the darkness and getting to know myself, my own, like a photon that's in a group of other photons, but we're going out into the darkness, working together until we figure out who we are. What is our individual point? What is our individual intelligence and energy? And so as we work together on these different projects, on this community and culture, and we build things together, we get to understand more about ourselves and understand who we are. And I don't look at this the priestess as being enshrouded with a masculine cover as a bad thing necessarily, as more as like she just has a structure around her, and she's emanating her light that is a feminine creative energy, but it's also still stuck in the cultural identity of who she is. And I think that's something that's hard to escape in life. But it's not something that we have to escape, it's just something we get to play with. So that's kind of what I see in those cards.
I think that because she's got that, not totally feminine, but the balance and all of that, of the light and the dark, she doesn't come off, even though she appears feminine, she doesn't come off as feminine. She's going to be allowed into men's spaces, because she doesn't bring whatever it is that, men resist about that. So she's like centered, she's in her power. What I had said that stood out to me, in that as well. yeah, the balance, the light and the dark, the moon energy, but it's like under her feet, so it's her understanding. It's not like this, again, coming, what comes to mind is like know the light, but like be in the black, basically, or focus on the black. And the pomegranates are what really brings that out, because I think of that one goddess, it's still not coming to mind, that has to is forced to go into the underworld, because just for part of her life, because she ate pomegranates while she was in the underworld, so she was sort of tricked to having to go back into the underworld. Because of that that thing she didn't think was a thing.
Was it a Greek goddess?
Maybe. I don't
Maybe.
know. It's one of them mythologies. I've been
One of
listening
them out
to
there.
some. I've been listening for the symbolism. I don't listen to retain the information because it all comes
Anybody
together.
listening can drop a comment for us to figure that out.
Yeah. Persephone comes to mind because she's associated with, but I with the pomegranates because she wears it on her dress, I think, in another card. But I don't think that's, I don't remember if that's the goddess that has to go down into the underworld because of that. She was, I think, the god of the underworld was trying to keep him, keep her for himself. And her mother went, was really trying to get her back. So, yeah, anyways, I heard it in a book about goddesses. And there were too many goddesses to keep them all. But yeah, that's the sense I get, that there is that deep sense of self, and like, even though she's kind of priestly, has all these different types of religions. It's not like it's one specific religion. She's got the Torah. Oh yeah, and the other thing that I saw, that the ball on her head reminds me of a crystal ball. So it's almost like, almost like she's, you know, she can see the future, and that's what gives her her grounding, right? She has an understanding, such an understanding of herself and how things work, and that she knows that whatever she sees in the future is not defined. It's just a thing that's, it's information. And she knows that it's not set in stone, right? The future can change based on what we put out there in the now, right? What we're stepping into. And that.
I like that. I like that thought too of like she's okay to be in that masculine, okay to be in the structure that she is in, and just to change it. And like you're saying, there's more religion in there. There's multiple religions in there. You know, she's sure of herself and able to stand in those different positions and bring them all together into who she is.
What's funny is, I was kind of trying not to giggle about it earlier, but I kept smiling when you were talking, because when I was holding it up like this, I'm like, oh, she kind of looks like a younger version of me. We had the same face, and I look over, I'm like, dang it, I'm making that face, right? And because it does, it reminds me of how, I think that's where I'm pulling it from, is like, that's how I was before I took testosterone, right? Is I had that energy, that centeredness, that, you know, I could be either or. I was allowed in those masculine spaces because, you know, men just felt comfortable. They didn't feel, I was like one of the boys, right? But I was also one of the girls. My brother's brother and my sister's sister was what I always called myself. And that's the, and her having my younger face is like, I didn't realize that until I was holding it up right next to me. And I also wanted to be a nun by the time I was 15. So there's a lot of me coming out back to me. Almost showing me what I liked about myself back then. What made me, that's the thing that I didn't have to try to fix, or because I was just so, or tried to become it, I was just naturally that. Anyways, the kids here, what I was saying is, I noticed the, it's almost like, because this is underlying, because she's so balanced, because she's so centered, she's done all the work to, you know, to accept all these different faiths and beliefs, and she's not unfazed by all of that stuff. she has this, you know, this is the harmony, the almost like the I said that it looks like a regular house standing next to something that kind of looks like a castle structure, right? Just reminds me of a little bit of a castle. So it's like the your higher self, your elevated self is always right there in every, it's like hidden all over the place, like the cup standing on top of a 10, which would be the culmination of the cup. It's like the future of it is raising up the raising up the cup, the where you're at with the cup, and it's not like you're trying to get there. You've already done the work to get beyond the instability or the shit stirring of the five. And so you have already the what you you're the reaping of what you've done the work. You're holding it. You're actually giving it away. And this reminded me of also like a future self looking lovingly and like I got you to the younger self, right? It to me this could have been the two selves, because the two selves are also evident everywhere else here. And there's a little man back here holding a wand. That's what I said it was. It's the wand. It's and he's walking towards the castle. He's got his back turned to all the stuff. All the work was already done. He can just walk towards his castle now. Little guy back there holding the staff or the wand, right? So you got a wand in there too. So that's the vibe that I got off of it. It's like it's the work is done. Now you're just experiencing it. You're reaping it. This is what balance and harmony and community looks like. And it comes with and I got that vibe because of, you know, the future self and the current self, rather than two different people. These are all you in because you're so balanced and settled and centered into yourself that you can fit into any space.
Yeah, I love that the higher self is in there too, because that's what we're reaching towards. Or that's not necessarily what we're reaching towards, but that's like what we're moving into. That's what continually.
We think we're reaching towards it, right? When we don't, when
Yeah.
our
We're continually our higher self, and our higher self is with us. But to think that we're not that is not completely correct, but it's still in the future, whatever the future holds, whatever our intelligence holds inside of us, that's what we get to learn.
Yeah. I really like the cards. Like I said, it feels like that's the state that I'm in after a few days of, you know, torturing myself and completely letting go of my identity, the little Frankenstein that I had created of myself, the good creature that I had created as Frankenstein. And so now finally having let that go, and being good with whatever it is, like just I'm just gonna continue clearing whatever it is. There's nothing I can be attached to anymore. And I think it's totally spot on for me today. The energy of all the work that I've been doing. I think
Yeah.
my skin even looks clearer. I was noticing that. I feel like I
I was
look
thinking,
better.
I just think on a Wednesday you're looking pretty young. The day that we recorded but forgot to record.
That was a fun day. Yeah, I had just had my full day of starting that dismantling process of the self, of starting to let it all go. So I was already releasing that energy. That's when I created, or when I realized I had created a creature as the Frankenstein, and I was just accepting it and learning to be with all of that. So, I mean, it would make sense that the after having spent a day, that I would have released some stuff, even though I still spent the next day, that same day, letting myself cry some more about what I had created. And now, being in, like, I don't even know what I talk like, but still feeling more like myself than ever. It's like, no wonder I was feeling like such a stranger for so long to myself, an alien, and all this. I had created this being that just wanted to be loved. And it was from pieces of what I thought other people loved in others, just wanting to be loved by humans. Now I don't care.
Yeah, it's like we put on the mask, we put on this figure, this culture, this figure that was been created through the culture, through the name that we've been given, through the structure that is the world around us. And we've created this being. And once we start to like realize that and start to play with what is this being that's inside of me? What's this skin, this body that I've created in some ways, we get to realize, well, who am I really? And what is it that I want to do? And what is it that I want to be? And I think sometimes we get lost in like, this isn't me and I don't want it, and I just want to throw it all away. But I think we have to remember that it's okay to sit in this energy that we have, to sit in this Frankenstein body that is the world and that is not us, and pull it apart and say, play with it and experience it and experience what our life is and can be. And when we realize, oh, I like this thing or I don't like this thing, then we start to create something new. And, I always think that like we all have in some ways a, like multiple personalities, and our personalities aren't us. They're just a tool that we've kind of put on top of ourselves to say, all right, this works in this situation and this works in this situation, and this is how I like to navigate things. And then once we realize, oh, wait, I don't like this behavior that I've adapted to these different scenarios, I'd like to try something different. I want to try a different personality. I want to see, try on these different outfits and figure out what do I like, until, I mean, eventually you can get fed up with it, but it's almost like that fed upness starts to get to your true self and you get to your true personality, and you get to just act the way that you want to act, whatever that might be in the situation that you're given. And I think sometimes we look at those people who are just crazy doing this, like some crazy thing, and we're like, ah, they're scary, they're out of the norm. But at the same time, what if they are authentically being them? And what if that's something, what if that's something to be admired? And I think of like India and the culture that they used to have. They used to admire and like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like honor the people that were on the spectrum, the ADHD and the autistic people. They would be like, wow, you are amazing. And they would consider them higher than themselves because they had they're breaking out of the cultural shell. And so I think if we start shifting how we look at people, we can start shifting how we look at ourselves differently and start breaking open new possibilities of who do we want to be.
Makes me think of this thing that I had said recently to one of our friends in our chat about they're trying to understand people and trying to get answers, and I'm like, you're only going to get answers about yourself. You can't truly understand someone else unless you know them from the beginning of their life to the end of their life. Because you're only going to meet them where they are in that the spectrum of their life. And that the spectrum is what reminded me of that conversation. You're only going to meet them where they're at in that particular place of their life. It's not telling you why they're that way in that phase of their life or in that part of their life and who they're becoming. So you're only going to understand your own thinking and your own understanding and your own judgments and your own perception of others. That's the only thing you can really understand from others. You can try, and I would this is what got me into trouble with picking up other people's emotions is that I would try to tune into the fullness of like what's going on that's leading, or where is it taking, so that I can get a fuller understanding of how I can help and hold space. I didn't know I was also calling in their energies so that I could feel it. And that added to it's from the Frankenstein, me wanting to really hold space and be a safe space for other people, right? It only got me into that trap of more not knowing who I am because I'm so involved in somebody else's business. Right? Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. Yeah, we definitely get sucked into other people's energies. And I think what I was really liking about what you're saying is not holding someone in a set image. Not holding them in where they are now or the image that we have created of them. When we have created an image of somebody, we hold them in that place and we think that that's who they are. And a lot of times our own image prevents them from progressing to be something different. And I think to your point of like, you're bringing in these people's energies and getting that image in yourself and it's getting stuck. I think we have to be, if we can find that or navigate that way of, you see them how they are now, and then you leave them behind. Then you get to have that opportunity to every single time you come up to meet them, there's somebody new, there's somebody different. And you don't have to hold that energy. And you allow them to bring more change into themselves than if we see that person as the same every single time. And I think that's a really hard thing to do because we have this image of the people in our lives, our friends, our family, and we hold them in that place. And we have certain behaviors that we have around that condition that we see them in. But if we can change that view and let go of that image and see a new image, then we change ourselves faster and we change them and we're changing the world. We're having that shift around us, being the shift and allowing ourselves to expand into higher planes and expand into just more beautiful places. We get to see more, we get to be more. And that's a beautiful aspect of our own shift.
It's just it's the Frankenstein all over again, but now you're creating a creature out of what you, out of your own thoughts and your ideas. You're creating that for someone else and holding them as the true cre the to create the true creation that you think is the true creation of who they are. But you've only created from pieces of your own evidence a human being that doesn't really exist. It's this is why we are a figment of each other's imagination, is because we can only piece together from our own perspective and our own understanding, this little Frankenstein's creature
Yeah.
of our own understanding.
My friend and I had this really cool conversation of immortality yesterday. And she had asked me, would you want to be immortal? If I found immortality, would you want to be immortal with me? And I'm like, well, how do we define immortality? So we had this just a discussion of immortality. And I was like, well, what if immortality is a faster death, because we're always going through death. We're always going through life, or we're going through death and regeneration continually. Our cells are dying and the new cells are born. And what if that immortality is reaching that death faster and processing through whatever time is quicker? Not necessarily that time's going faster, but we're able to let go of the past, let go of the things that were old, and step into the new quicker. And I think that's the same with people and with anything that's in our lives. Can we let go of what was and step into what is and what is to be quicker? And that's what superhuman dude, what's his call? What's his name?
Joe Dispenza.
Joe Dispenza talks about a lot. It's letting go of the past, stop living in the past, stop creating the future from the past, step into the now and create the now from the future and bring that future into now. And so that's what, to me, that's what I've started thinking of immortality is, how can I step into this progression, this life death preservation cycle quicker and progress the preservation that's there through the death and the rebirth that's continually happening.
Clearing is what keeps coming to mind for me. Those were like my instructions in my session, the quantum healing session that I had. It's a constantly clearing. It's like what we've been trying to say with holding space, learning to hold things unconditionally and all this stuff, but it's actually clearing all this stuff out of the space. So that your expression can be, so that you can constantly be dying to yourselves. You're not attached to who you are. You're not attached to who others are. Everybody's free to just to constantly change and grow and evolve, because we're not attached to any of it. We're constantly clearing it out and letting it process and come through us, and it makes room for those more elevated states. The higher self and the lower self both existing together. Or not necessarily the lower self, but the younger self, right? The less the self that doesn't have, it's almost like the younger self is the cleared self, because it doesn't have as much information, but it's also more susceptible to holding on to the information, right? So constantly having that balance of letting your future self always be ahead of you to have something to teach you, because it's also doing that work of constantly clearing and letting things come to you and through you, and nothing being held here.
Yeah. And the continual progression of life itself, the continual evolution, becoming the evolution itself. cool process. It's fun, scary, intimidating, but thrilling. Well, I think that's our shift.
Yeah, that's all the shift I have to talk about.
Go be the shift. Continually evolve. Step into the new. Play with what's here now. And create some magical stuff.
Yeah. Let that stuff clear.
Yeah.
Keep being. Yeah.
Keep being. Be the
But don't
bee.
keep being, but don't keep
Yeah.
right. The end. Love you.
Love y'all.
See you. Like my mom always said, see you tomorrow.
Hasta
Even just
mañana.
gonna see you tomorrow.
Let
All right. Let the shift hit the fan. Let the shift hit the fan.